Emily?
You all right, Fred?
Are they coming?
Come in? Honest love, now what are you doing out of bed? No, Fred. Now, just put it on the table. Come on now. There's a good lad. Oh, my God! Fred! Oh, no! No!
Bertie and the Tin Man. The novel by Peter Lovesley. Dramatised by Geoffrey M. Matthews. With Timothy West as Bertie.
Protocol. A word with many meanings, but for me, only one. Straight jacket. Worn purely to please mother and country. Yet, so binding that even this intimate memoir must be relegated to a strongbox in the public record office for the next 100 years. By then, I'll not only be dead, but also grossly libeled by history. No, steady, Bertie. This is a memoir, not a letter of complaint. It's a queer thing to be sitting in my study on the last day of 1886, addressing someone not yet born. Not to prolong the mystification, my name is Albert Edward, and among other things notable and notorious, I am the Prince of Wales. But what few realize, and I am also a detective, or have been for the last 7 weeks, since I first learned of Fred Archer's suicide.
Bertie, many happy returns. Oh, your presents, you have not opened them.
My birthday's been blighted.
Blighted? Oh, not another scandal.
Absolutely not. No, sadly, it's far worse.
Not bad news from Windsor.
No, as far as I'm aware, Mama remains in the very best of health.
Then?
Well, see for yourself the front page.
The nation mourns. Even a royal prince may die suddenly without so general a shock to the country as was caused yesterday by the tragical death of Mr. Fred Archer, the champion jockey, affectionately known as the Tin Man. Mr. Archer apparently took his own life. But why?
An aberration of the brain, apparently.
Apparently? You doubt the report?
Well, it says the Tin Man, Archer, was suffering from typhoid.
So?
We're forgetting Papa's death, my dear, and I, too, am more than slightly acquainted with the disease.
Oh, no one could forget that, Bertie.
Then recall the effects on my body and brain. The ravings, the delirium, my debility lasted for weeks.
Yes,
but... My dear, Archer took ill only 5 days ago. 3 days later, he was so recovered, even his nurse considered it safe to leave him unattended. Then, without any apparent reason, and with his sister present, he climbs out of bed and shoots himself.
Oh, dreadful.
Rum is the word I would use. I must cogitate, my dear. Send word to the chef to prepare a full breakfast. I have a strong premonition that today will make heavy demands on my constitution.
Turned detective. Are you quite certain, sir?
Am I ever indecisive, Francis?
Protocol does prevent an honest answer, sir.
It hasn't stopped you before. And seeing I'm an expert on both typhoid and the turf, I see no reason to involve the detective police, at least not until the mystery's resolved.
But to attend Archer's inquest, that even for you might be unwise.
Seat in the corner, old tweeds, doubt if they'd even recognize me.
That isn't the only problem. The inquest is this afternoon.
Is it now?
And you have a full list of engagements.
Well, have I not?
The mayor of Cambridge this morning.
Put him off, Francis.
Later, the labourers on the royal estate assemble in the mews for your customary birthday
dinner. Labourers, they come for the food, not me.
And your birthday guests, Lord and Lady Randolph Churchill, the Prince...
Her Royal Highness will look after them. So that only leaves...
The inquest. Newmarket. Mr. Archer's residence. We shall have to be there by 2 o'clock.
Sorry. Dozed off. Are we there yet?
Just into Newmarket.
Loathsome place, except for the jockey club. And even that won't be the same. Not without Fred Archer. No, there'll never be another like him.
All to the good. Whips, spurs, nags round the ground. For what? A fistful of trophies and more tin than I could spend in a lifetime. I'm sorry, sir, but Archer's not my idea of a champion.
Oh, I agree. Fred was no paragon. But you can't blame him. Well, not entirely.
He did the riding.
Under orders to win. From owners, even me, who don't care how, just so long as their colours end up in front. I'm easy compared to some.
You wouldn't be thinking of Lady Montrose.
Well, yes, I was thinking of old Six Mile Bottom. Mm. Remember the Cambridgeshire, just the other week.
St. Mirren, a horse in a million, Fred. I adore you. But if he slacks an inch, you'll not spare the whip. Is that understood?
Just rest easy, your ladyship.
So I should chance a tenner on St. Mirren.
Every tenner you can spare, sir.
Get away, Fred. You won't beat my colt Carlton, and you know it.
Really, Somerset?
Go on, Fred. Tell Lady Montrose about that training gallop last week on Marlborough Downs. Carlton and St. Mirren ran over a mile. Your horse lost by a street.
Is that true, Fred?
You're right, your ladyship. But you see, Lord Somerset missed something.
Really? What?
The jockeys. He never took them into account. The lad on St. Mirren, he were a novice.
Where did you get that?
Straight from the horse's mouth. St. Mirren, poor beast, he were never off the bit.
Still confident, Eddie? So reckon I'm safe for 50 on St. Mirren, Fred?
As houses, sir. Look, you know I ain't never won the Cambridgeshire, but today, I'll tell you, nothing won't pass me. I'll stake my life on that.
Well, then I'm for 50 on St. Mirren, and, a tenner on Sailor Prince.
Sailor Prince? That outsider?
Ah, but sired by Albert Victor. And since my Albert Victor went to Dartmouth, I'm not averse to a touch of sentiment. More than 25 to 1.
Carlton or St. Mirren? An honest opinion, Bertie.
Well, on form, Carlton, but...
What?
The Tin Man is not usually one to brag, but suddenly he's opening up to anyone who'll listen. Still, we'll know soon enough. They're at the tapes, and the flag's down.
They're off. Stupid people! Oh, get down, you! Damn it, Bertie, I can't see a thing.
The field's bunched, and yes, it's Carlton away. He's past Tyrone. Past Sailor Prince.
Last Carlton! Oh, where's St. Mirren?
He's on the outside. He's up to Melton, and they're together at the Red House. St. Mirren's with Carlton, both moving easy. And it's the gradient. They're neck and neck. Now, Carlton's pulling ahead. Two furlongs to go with St. Mirren moving up.
Oh!
Carlton's fading. And they're almost at the post.
Oh!
I lowered my field glasses and cheered St. Mirren and his rider. Suddenly, from nowhere, something was challenging St. Mirren. Damn my eyes, it was finishing faster than St. Mirren. They crossed the post together. What was it, Somerset?
The Sailor Prince, sir.
Oh!
Ah, my outsider, at 25 to 1.
Don't know what to say, sir. I'm sorry.
Why, Fred, you lost fair and square.
No. I did you and her ladyship wrong. I shouldn't have taken on Carlton so early. St. Mirren, poor bugger. He just had nothing left at the end.
Neither did Carlton. The Sailor Prince certainly did me a power of good. Won 250.
Well, at least you got something.
You didn't disgrace yourself, man.
Didn't I? I wish to God I could agree with you, sir. I wish to God I could.
That last remark was typical of Fred Archer after losing a race he was confident of winning, and to a rank outsider. So I thought no more about it, except that he'd be facing an even rougher ride once Kerry Montrose caught up with him. But then, the real story of the race had yet to come out.
Are they coming? What did Mr. Archer mean, Doctor? Mrs. Coleman, the deceased sister, can offer no explanation.
The explanation is obvious. Archer had typhoid. The symptoms are high fever, depression, and delusions.
If they want expert opinion, why not call...
Sir, please.
Sorry, Francis. Got carried away.
Delusions. Yet Mrs. Coleman and Nurse Horridge disagree. They both state that just prior to the tragedy, the deceased was lucid, in full command of his senses.
When they saw him. But yesterday morning when I examined Mr. Archer, he was extremely depressed, convinced he was dying. I endeavored to calm him, told him his temperature was almost normal, that he was well on the way to recovery. I thought the poor fellow understood.
A tragedy, Doctor. Well, I have no further questions, gentlemen. No, sir. Then I call Captain Buckfast.
Ex-army, to judge by that fine military moustache.
Yes. Very close to Archer. Acted as his business advisor. It might be worth having a chat with him later.
Sir?
Just one or two questions, Captain. You are, a close friend of the deceased.
Very. Met him 4 years ago, just after his wife died.
Would you tell us when you last saw him alive?
Well, I was with him until about noon yesterday.
And how was he?
Oh, improved, much improved.
In body and mind?
Yes, it was quite lively, in fact. But he did wander a bit.
Wander?
You know, converse for a while and then, wander.
Did you hear him speak of suicide at any time?
Never. And he was cheerful enough when I left.
Oh, really? I understand Mr. Archer had recently deprived himself of food.
Yes, he was wasting.
By wasting, you mean losing weight by starvation?
Well, he had to, for the Cambridgeshire. He rode St. Mirren at 8'7", and he was a tall man for a jockey.
And he achieved this exceptionally low weight by starving himself?
Starvation, Turkish baths, and his mixture.
A mixture, Captain?
A potion he took.
Ah, consisting of?
Oh, no idea. He was very secretive about it.
But it was purgative, in effect?
Well, I think you'd find it so.
I am most unlikely to try it, sir. Thank you. You may stand down. That, members of the jury, concludes the evidence. I believe a short recess is indicated while I consider my summation. We will reconvene in 10 minutes.
Pure stagecraft, Francis.
Sir?
This recess.
You consider it unnecessary?
Totally. There's no question what the jury's verdict will be.
Temporary insanity induced by typhoid fever.
Rather a pantomime, wasn't it?
Sir?
A performance of make-believe with the verdict everyone wanted, Captain.
I don't quite follow, sir. Suicide is hardly the act of a rational man.
Agreed. But both his sister and the nurse gave evidence that he was rational. And his caretaker, young Sawyer, said he kept a gun by his bedside for the most rational of reasons, fear of burglary.
Oh, that's true, sir. He was very nervous of being burgled.
By the way, I believe Fred kept a very acceptable cellar.
Exceptional, sir. Oh, stupid of me. Excuse me.
Sawyer.
Sir?
A bottle of Clicquot, a 78, two glasses, at the double.
Right away, sir.
I hope you approve, sir.
Yes, indeed.
Fred enjoyed it greatly.
Oh, really? At what hour?
Hour? Oh, always lunch, sir. One glass and a sardine.
One sardine? Followed by a glass of castor oil, I suppose.
No, sir. Fred always had that at breakfast.
Oh, goodness.
Here you are, sir. Will there be anything else, sir?
That's all, thank you.
Right, sir.
My apologies, sir.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, of course. Allow me, Captain. Yes, your arm. How did you lose it?
With the 17th Lancer, sir, in the Zulu Wars. Got in the way of an assegai.
A savage beast.
A spear, sir.
Yes, I was referring to the savage who threw it, Captain. Trust you're on a generous pension?
It suffices, sir. I have a modest personal income as well.
And enough racing knowledge to add a penny or two, eh?
Unfortunately, one can never have enough knowledge, sir. But I do know horses bought Paradox as a yearling for 700, won the Guineas, then sold him for 6,000.
Is that so? I understand now why Archer cultivated you. To Paradox. Now, do you have a first name?
It's Charles, sir. My friends call me Charlie.
Then tell me, Charlie, you and Archer, pretty close, were you?
Well, after his wife died, we became very close. He needed guidance. Well, you know his record, champion jockey for 13 years, over 2,700 winners, 21 of them classics. Every owner and trainer wanted Fred.
And you provided that guidance?
Oh, yes. Fred made all the decisions, but he was illiterate.
Mm?
He could barely scratch his own signature. Needed someone to take care of his paperwork, racing engagements. At least that didn't come out at the inquest.
No. Not with everyone cooperating so admirably, so anxious to find signs of temporary insanity. Well, not that everyone was dishonest, just inconsistent.
Inconsistent?
Well, take the diagnosis.
Typhoid fever.
With symptoms unlike any that I experienced.
Well, he was very ill at the week's end, sir. Feverish. Very high temperature.
Oh, undoubtedly. On Saturday and Sunday, but yesterday he was sitting up having conversations. I was at death's door for 3 weeks. A severe chill, yes, but typhoid.
Fred was wandering, sir.
Oh, yes, the wandering. The classic symptom everyone took great pains to mention. Everyone except the nurse and his wife who saw him last. No, Charlie, from everything I've heard this afternoon, I don't believe Archer was deranged by typhoid. I think he shot himself deliberately.
But why? Fred had no problems, no enemies.
You recall his last words?
Are they coming?
They intrigue me, Charlie. Were they demented ramblings or a cry of torment?
What, so you believe Fred was expecting someone to come to the house? Someone real?
Well, I doubt if it was the four horsemen of the apocalypse. So who? That's what I plan to discover. If the Tin Man was terrorized into taking his own life, someone is responsible, and by heaven I'll see they answer for it. With, I hope, your help, Charlie.
Oh, an honor, sir. And my duties?
You'll be assisting Archer's executors. So examine his papers, accounts, betting book, correspondence, consider any oddity which might indicate that he was under threat, and then report to me.
By letter, sir.
Oh, Lord, no, no. My investigation must be secret. You have a residence in town?
Bachelor room, sir, in Jermyn Street.
Ah, good address. It's not far from mine. I keep a place in Pall Mall.
I know, sir.
I'll arrange to see you in London in a week or so. Occasionally I have engagements in the metropolis of a private nature.
My rooms are at your disposal any time you wish, sir.
I have high hopes of you, Charlie.
You're a tyrant, Bertie. No, no more. Francis, you must intercede.
No need, my dear. I exercise the prerogative of mercy.
Oh.
Besides, I could do with some refreshment.
Footman.
Thank you, Francis.
Ma'am.
Thank
you.
Sir? Thank you. There
we missed you this afternoon, Francis.
He was at Archer's funeral, my dear. Well, did Fred get a fitting send-off?
Oh, extremely, sir. All the racing aristocracy.
Really, Francis, this conversation is hardly suited to the ball.
But a fact of life, my dear. I take it Eddie Somerset showed up.
Yes, with Christopher Sykes.
Plenty of wreaths?
More than I could count. I've placed the list on your desk.
Oh, good. Assume mine was the largest one.
It was given pride of place, sir.
Not the largest. Come on, man. Who forgot himself so fast to send a larger wreath than mine?
The Duchess of Montrose.
Carrie Montrose. You hear that, Alex? Damn woman should be horsewhipped, and by heaven,
it is of no import, Bert.
Well, that's a matter of opinion. So, Francis, about Archer's suicide, was anything said at the funeral?
It was generally spoken of as a dreadful tragedy. Yeah,
not as a mystery.
Well, not that I heard. Though young Eddie Somerset did express some very strong views.
Well, Eddie, what do you know about it?
It was just gossip, sir.
A gossip? You may be well-rounded, Somerset, but you're also exceedingly transparent. So?
You might as well, Eddie.
Very well then, sir. I was not surprised Archer shot himself.
Really? Why?
Pretty obvious, isn't it, ma'am? Fellow lost the Cambridgeshire. It left him in damn bad odor. Really, Sykes? With whom?
Me, for one.
Why?
I thought that outsider, Sailor Prince, beat your nag fair and square.
Oh, no. My horse was stopped.
What? Well, then blame Woodburn. He was Carlton's jockey.
Yes, but Fred Archer bribed him to lose.
What?
Well, it's obvious, sir. Look, we all know Archer, his obsession to win the Cambridgeshire. His only real threat was Carlton. So to make sure, he bribed my jockey.
No.
Then Sailor Prince went and upset things. And if word of the bribe got out, well, fellow took the only way out.
Look, you realize what you're saying, Eddie? That the greatest jockey in the kingdom was corrupt.
That, sir, is precisely what I am saying.
You know, what has Woodburn to say?
Denies it emphatically.
Well, he would, wouldn't he? His livelihood is at stake.
But do you have some further proof?
Not exactly, ma'am. I'm damned sure I could get it. But now that Archer's dead, seems churlish to pursue it.
But not to spread gossip, eh? Well, frankly, Somerset...
Bertie, gentlemen, may I now say something?
You have something to add, my dear?
Only feminine intuition, Bertie.
And where does that lead?
Cherchez la femme. Where
else? A woman? Really, ma'am? Archer had no time for women.
He did marry one, Christopher.
Yes, but she died.
All the more reason. A lonely man, a beautiful house, oodles of money. There has to be a woman just waiting to move in.
Well, then name one.
Carrie Montrose.
What? 6 Mile Bottom? It's grotesque. The woman's close to 70.
68. And why is it grotesque if an old woman desires a young man? It happens all the time in reverse. Believe me, gentlemen, Carrie was extremely serious about Mr. Archer. In fact, she even proposed to him.
How do you know that?
I listen. Well, there is not much else for a respectable lady to do here, is there? Except take an interest in what the not-so-respectable ones are doing.
A salutary lesson, gentlemen. Never overlook the obvious.
With Carrie Montrose, that would be a little difficult.
Another brandy, Christopher.
Oh, thank you, sir. There was something I couldn't mention earlier, sir. About the Cambridge, sir.
Well?
Sailor Prince, the outsider that won. Seems a well-known personage, made quite a killing.
Well, so what? I backed it myself at 25 to 1.
Sir, this personage netted 50,000.
50,000?
Oh. Fellow was at Romano's after the race, boasting about his coup. Wages spread over several bookies, and how he owed it all to Archer.
And the name of this personage?
The Squire.
Squire? Of where?
At times, Francis, I deplore your lack of knowledge about the turf, anyway.
I defer to your superior knowledge in that area, sir.
His name's Baird. Abington Baird. Sometimes known as the Squire. And if that blackguard is involved, questions need to be asked.
Mm. I'm surprised you didn't note him at the funeral, Francis. Young, well-dressed, followed everywhere by two heavies.
What, pugilists?
Yes. Champions of England, both. Baird employs them for protection.
Protection? Why should a gentleman need protection?
Baird isn't short of money or education, but a gentleman? Never. No, the fellow frequents low public houses, consorts with women of doubtful repute, delights in giving offence to decent people.
Being a mite strong, aren't you, Christopher?
Strong. Obvious you ain't run into the damned coward. He has a favourite trick. Deliberately insults someone, and if they're rash enough to protest, he lets his pugs move in and bloody their noses.
The fellow does have one saving grace. He lives for the turf. Keeps horses all over the country and rides them as well as any professional.
Hence his connection with Archer?
Oh, Baird was besotted with him. Followed him everywhere, studied his tactics and riding style, even paid Archer a fortune for lessons.
Which paid off handsomely. The Squire rode 30 winners last year.
Yeah.
He used Archer's favourite trick each time.
Trick?
Stretching right over the horse's neck just before the post. Gives an extra yard and catches the judge's eye. Very useful in a tight finish.
Explains his presence at the funeral. A tribute.
Fitting reason for a gentleman, perhaps. But not quite in Baird's character. That thumping great win, the spread bets. I reckon Baird had to be damned confident about Sailor Prince.
The oldest horse in the race. And after Eddie Somerset's accusation and Archer's suicide. So, how did you come by your information, Christopher?
From Jessica, sir.
Oh. What, your sister-in-law?
Yes. She got it from an acquaintance.
Then it can't possibly be accurate. We all know Jessica don't have acquaintances.
Her informant was a gentleman friend who happened to dine at Romano's on the night Baird was there.
Are we not to know his name?
I would rather not divulge that, but he also heard Baird talking. Baird was with a young woman. Her name would be of more interest, especially as they seem to be on intimate terms.
And what is her name?
Bliss, sir. Myrtle Bliss.
Hmm. Sounds ominously like one of the sisterhood.
The sisterhood? No, she hasn't descended to that, Francis. Leastways, not yet. No, she's a music hall artiste.
Thank you very much indeed, your sister's charity. Enough! Not being the temperance observer. Always enjoy a large tipple. It's nice to be among friends, isn't it? While you witness that sovereign of strong men, that Hercules from Acme.
Oh, I know it.
Another the great Bellman.
Pose plastique,
sir.
A muscular display, Charlie. Personally, oh, yes. I prefer... Oh, no, mustn't digress. Well, Fred and the Squire, what do you reckon?
It's not impossible, sir. They were together during Newmarket Weekend. Fred tipping him sailor, Prince Hartley. Fred and he weren't exactly close friends.
There was a great deal at stake, Charlie.
I don't doubt it. But the only money Fred ever took from Baird was honest for riding lessons. As for stopping a horse, risking his career, never. He'd die first.
My sentiment exactly. What about Archer's papers? Did you find anything?
There were no irregularities, sir.
How much was he worth?
Oh, about 60,000, sir. That is an estimate, of course.
60,000? Newspapers reckoned he was worth a quarter of a million.
A gross exaggeration. Fred was never worth that. Of course, he sank an enormous amount into his house. Mm.
Albert, how would you like to have him bring in the coaling guy? Now, ladies and gentlemen, bring in the chamber. All right. I bet you say that to all the boys. Now then, beauty! And no, not the beast, but beauty and obedience. The sweet, the adorable, Miss Myrtle Bliss and Cocky!
Cocky?
And cocky, old cock!
Sir, please.
Oh, just surprised, Charlie. I thought she'd be a singer. Girl like that playing second fiddle to a cockatoo. Amazing.
I say, sir, a miniature tricycle and a tightrope. Well, it must take some training.
Miss Bliss was an uncommonly pretty black-haired creature. But, to be truthful, it wasn't a very arresting turn until, through no fault of my own, I became part of the performance. For some unfathomable reason, the limelight shifted from the stage and settled on our table. Thereupon, Cocky gave a piercing screech, flew straight at me, ripped my cigar from my mouth, soared into the gods, and presented it to someone in the gallery.
Cigar! Are you all right, sir?
Trifle discommoded to have lost my cigar, that's all. Hand-rolled Corona. But seeing it contributed to her performance, I trust Miss Bliss will be duly grateful.
Grateful? Of course I'm grateful. Oh, you was a proper sport. Some of them, well, Cocky, oh, he's funny. Goes for pointed objects and sometimes his aim ain't always that accurate.
Yes, I know what you mean, my dear. What do you think of these colchesters, Charlie?
Superb.
Oh, can't beat Mr. Hollis, not for oysters. But then I ain't stopped them at Windsor, ever.
Oh, you've no idea how lucky you are. Dining with Mama ain't exactly... No, Marlborough House would be infinitely better.
Honest, Bertie, I could almost believe you really was him.
I assure you, madam, this is the Prince of Wales.
Oh, yeah, and I'm Florence Nightingale, and you're the Archbishop of Canterbury, I suppose.
Have a care, madam. His Royal Highness is not to be trifled.
Oh, the Prince of Wales in City Road? In that clobber? Get away. it, Bertie?
It's the height of working class fashion, my dear. Bought it from one of my gardeners. That performance of yours, how did you think it up?
Oh, wasn't me, love. Well, my dad started the act, and I took it on after he crossed over. Work all the main halls now. Well, it's hard going, but I do have to pay the rent.
There are easier ways, my dear.
Easier ways? Well, if that's what you think
me... No, please, Miss Bliss. I believe Charlie was speaking of the turf. It's a good living if you're in the know. Do you ever back a horse?
Well, I suppose I do have a flutter now and again. Last time was the Cambridgeshire. Huh? Won a good few bob there, I can tell you.
I'm a sailor prince. Amazing.
Couldn't lose, could I?
Oh?
I had a gentleman friend. Well, he had inside information. Won himself a real packet, he did.
This friend, would he be Abington Baird, the squire?
How do you know about him, then?
Well, it's common knowledge, my dear, that he fleeced the bookies. Good luck to him. Wish I'd had his information. I don't suppose you've any idea where it comes from.
Keep your voice down, Bertie, for God's sake. Well, the squire, he'd kill us both just for gabbing. Especially in a gaff like this.
Well, then how about later? Somewhere private.
You're an optimist and no mistake. Just you and me.
Well, Charlie was about to leave. Weren't you, Charlie?
Well, as you wish, sir, but... Is it altogether wise, sir?
Regrettably, this is an avenue of inquiry that only one of us can pursue. Eminently comfortable, my dear.
Hush, Cocky. He's usually asleep by now. That's sure, Bertie. Well, sling it over the cage. Off to sleep now, Cocky. Now it's me who needs an hand.
What?
Oh, Miss Days.
Oh.
Come on, Bertie. It's too bleeding cold to stand about.
With pleasure, my dear. But at the Oyster House, you hinted that you knew about Sailor Prince.
Honest, Bertie. Horses at a time like this. You'll have to ask the squire.
Now, don't be evasive, my girl. Was it a fixed race?
Oh, I could try and find out if you want. But all he said was Sailor Prince was a sir and to put all I had on him.
At this juncture, as Myrtle eased the corset over her hips and stepped out of it, my concentration wavered. She hitched her thumbs under my braces and slipped them off my shoulders. The borrowed trousers dropped like a flag at sunset.
Nice underwear. Why don't you take it off?
I don't trust your cockatoo.
Come to bed as you are, then.
Oh, such cheek. Oh, such cheeks. What? Who the...
Myrtle!
Oh, my God!
Oh, for God's sake! Get off me! Consider my situation, Charlie. Myrtle trapped under me. A demented bird pecking tufts out of my beard. The intruder lying across my back in a posture impossible to describe, as drunk as the moon in a puddle. But someone both Myrtle and I knew well. Abington Baird.
The squire? I trust you were not recognized, sir.
Immaterial, Charlie. Naturally, my immediate instinct was to leave. And then I realized that Baird was alone. No bodyguards. So, I asked Myrtle for a jug of water. Sobered him up in no time.
Was he able to talk?
Well, I did manage to persuade him.
Some arm twisting.
No, I abhor violence, Charlie. I just sat the fellow down and handed him a Corona. And then let Cocky take over. Well, once Baird got started, there was no stopping him.
And his explanation?
More than surprising, Charlie. Turns out, Sailor Prince bloomed in training. Showed better staying power than ever before. Of course, the owner held that back from the touts.
But the Summer Cup at Liverpool, Sailor Prince came in a poor third.
Exactly. Given his head, he'd have walked it. And he wasn't raced again until the Cambridgeshire. So, sky-high odds with a pecket for anyone in the know.
Obviously. But
How did Baird get that information?
From the best source possible. Sailor Prince's owner.
From William Gilbert? Hardly, sir.
Gilbert doesn't own Sailor Prince.
But
another of Baird's little tricks. Now, we all know he owns scores of runners, but it turns out he has others as well, registers them in other people's names, and pays them handsomely for that privilege.
Has the Jockey Club ever got wind of that?
Reckon they'd disbar him, eh, Charlie? No. No, not after that last little fracas.
Oh, fracas, sir.
Club kept very quiet. Had to. Happened in 82. Mm-hmm. Baird was up for fouling. Got warned off every course in the country for 2 years. Fella just laughed, accepted their verdict, waltzed straight out, threatened to buy the lime kilns, and then to plough them up.
Plough the Newmarket gallops? Well, blasted sacrilege.
Left the stewards no option. They had to negotiate. Clandestinely, of course. And the ban was reduced.
Nerve of the fella. What did he say about Archer?
Oh, he spoke up for him. Said Eddie Somerset should be hauled up for slander. But Fred was so confident of winning that he advised Baird to back St. Mirren as heavily as possible.
Oh, that ain't likely, sir.
Well, why? Archer told me the same thing.
You were a friend.
Well, Baird was his protege. Those riding lessons.
Oh, purely business. Baird wanted them, was willing to pay, and, well, Fred never was averse to making some extra tin.
In his capacity as the tin man, yes. But 2 years ago, wasn't there some talk about a partnership, a joint racing establishment in Newmarket?
All talk, sir. Put out by Baird to impress. Fred was furious. He told Baird, in no uncertain terms, what he thought of the idea.
Last night, Baird was claiming to be Fred's one true friend.
Utter bilge, sir.
Do I detect some personal animus, Charlie?
Well, hardly, sir. Matter of fact, I never even met Baird. Even when he visited Fred, I managed to stay clear.
So, he wouldn't recognize you?
Doubt it, sir. Why?
I want you to follow him.
Oh, as you wish, sir. But why?
Because Baird hasn't exactly been honest with me. Can hardly let him get away with that now, can we?
I suppose not, sir. Especially if you believe he was involved in Fred's suicide.
Well, you're part of the game now, Charlie. What's your opinion?
Well, we know Baird's dangerous. Especially with all those damned bodyguards.
I saw them last night outside Myrtle's lodgings.
He's obviously waiting for Baird to finish his assignation.
Dozen of the ugliest specimens of humanity I've ever seen. It was quite impossible for me to leave.
You stayed all night with Myrtle and the Squire?
Well, not with the Squire. We encouraged him to leave and they all moved off.
But you remained?
To continue the examination. In the legal sense, you understand.
Quite.
Also to protect the lady, Charlie. I didn't underestimate these ruffians. And nor must you. Follow, observe, be inconspicuous.
You can count on me, sir.
Excellent. Now then, do you have any scissors?
Scissors?
Sorry, but it will have to come off, Charlie.
Off? My... Oh, but, sir...
It stands out a mile. Heaven knows what the Squire would do with it if he thought you were eavesdropping.
But, Well, I suppose it is a prominent feature.
Yes, indeed. But a moustache is a small sacrifice, Charlie. However, if it makes you feel any better, but I'll be in the front line as well.
Sir?
I intend to mount an assault on another flank. I shall arrange to visit Carrie Montrose.
The Duchess? For what reason, sir?
Cherchez la femme, Charlie. Cherchez la femme. Now, keep still. Just mind your tongue. That's it. Just as I arrived at Charlie's rooms the next Saturday evening, in good time to receive his report before we left for the dinner engagement I'd arranged with Carrie, a four-wheeler pulled up and out jumped Charlie. Ignoring me totally, he bolted inside and left me to make my own way after him.
Are they coming?
Who, Charlie? Are who coming?
You didn't see them? Don't move the curtain, for God's sake. Look, there, on the corner.
Yeah, they're just ordinary pedestrians, Charlie. Now, calm yourself, man. Good grief, your garments.
What? Oh, took a leaf from your book, sir. Borrowed them from Sawyer.
Sawyer?
Fred's caretaker.
Oh, of course.
The fellow who brought the champagne into us after the inquest.
Oh, yes, yes.
Had told him I was off to a costume party.
Now, look, calm down, Charlie. Have a drink.
Thanks.
Take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Have a drink and tell me what's been going on.
Yeah.
Well?
Well, everything went perfectly all week. Then, last night, they spotted me.
They?
Two of Baird's thugs. They followed me here from Newmarket.
Then they know who you are?
I think not. But I'm certainly a marked man. It all started last night, sir. Baird organized a dogfight. His bull terrier against a local stray. Sickening.
And you stayed to watch?
No. Seeing Baird was occupied, I broke into Bedford Lodge.
Baird's residence? By Jove, I salute you. Are you onto something?
Well, according to Baird's bragging, half the jockeys in England were in his pocket.
What? Including Archer?
Fred, Charlie Wood, and others. And he didn't have to pay them much either.
Oh?
At least not after the first time. After that, it was blackmail. Cooperate or face the jockey club.
Yeah, but why bother to cheat? The blackguard's worth millions.
It wasn't to fleece the bookies, sir. The bribes were a bait, a trap to force Fred into partnership. He idolized Fred. To be his partner would be the supreme accolade. He'd even drawn up the contract, kept it in his bedroom.
Ah, so you decided to steal it?
Annex it. Unfortunately, the bedroom was occupied.
Oh, one of his ladies.
I could have handled that easy, sir. No, it was two of his minders.
What?
Both naked as cuckoos.
Oh, whatever next. And they're the ones after you?
Yes.
Now I understand. As for Archer, it seems his reputation's even blacker now than when we started. But if that contract caused his suicide, I shan't rest until I've seen it.
I suppose I could make another attempt, sir.
No, you're out of the picture now, Charlie. It seems I don't have much choice. I'll have to resort to other methods.
Myrtle Bliss? But she's a performer, has no background, no military training.
Agreed, Charlie, but she has one major advantage. Entree to the squire's bedroom. This came this morning.
I've been invited to Newmarket Sunday with the squire.
Squire, yes.
If you want to hear about it, come and look me up next week, Tuesday. 11. Coffee says, bring your smokes. Mm. He's got a new trick to show you. Love, M.
Yeah.
I take it you haven't replied, sir.
Hardly. If there's one thing I've learned, Charlie, it's never to pen anything to the fairer sex. Far safer if you just visit. Whoever wrote Sweet Thames Run Softly Till I End My Song has never been dropped headfirst into that evil sewer. Brackish, foul, but sweet never. No, whoa, Bertie, you're getting ahead of yourself. Cheyne Walk is poorly lit at the best of times, and even darker on a rainy November night. I paid the cabbie while Charlie Buckfast, anxious to stay as dry as possible, hurried through the iron gates towards Carrie's residence. I followed, only to be stopped short by a sudden cry and the sound of blows. As a sensitive man, I was painfully aware of what was happening to my colleague. My fears were soon confirmed. As I flattened myself to the wall, two roughs built like prize fighters and muffled to the ears went by, dragging poor Charlie by his heels. I entertained a slight hope that I hadn't been spotted. It was not to be. One of the simians turned and headed towards me. Rashly, I ran towards the river, but at my age, sprinting ain't a natural pastime. Within a few seconds, I was collared, practically garrotted, and manhandled along the embankment. To my horror, I was forced to watch as Charlie was heaved over the embankment wall. There was no sound except a splash as his body hit the water. Then his assailant moved towards me. Suddenly, I found my voice and managed to gasp, "I am the Prince of..." before the blackguards tossed me into the jet-black waters.
I'm all for practical jokes, Bertie, but this...
Jokes, Carrie. Think I'd be conversing like this in a state of nature unless it was vital. Now, for pity's sake, hand me a towel and turn your back.
Oh, if you insist, Bertie. Now, let's stop this pretense. You came here alone, didn't you?
I've told you exactly what happened, that Captain Buckfast is almost certainly drowned, and that I nearly suffered the same fate.
Well, have it your way, Bertie, but my servants have scoured the riverbank. There's no trace of Captain Buckfast or your assailants. I suggest we send for the police.
And what do we tell them? That HRH was visiting a duchess privately, got involved in a brawl? You know what the press will make of that.
But you apparently witnessed a murder. It will be impossible, even criminal, to keep it secret. But what is more to the point, I cannot, I will not countenance that the Prince of Wales was cast into the Thames practically on my own doorstep.
Naturally, you have a solution.
Charles Warren.
Warren? The police commissioner?
Sir Charles is a neighbour. You could speak with him informally. I'm sure he'd know what to do.
Misha, you want me to investigate personally?
You are the most senior policeman in the land, Sir Charles.
I am a soldier, sir. An engineer, not a trained detective. My appointment was solely to marshal the police, have them subdue unruly elements in society.
Like those who attacked me and enabled you to eat a dinner intended for a man who may now be dead. So I am marshalling you to locate them. Is that clear?
Crystal clear, sir.
Well, then I suggest we forego the brandy.
As you wish, sir. Then I forbid you good night.
Blasted fop.
Don't be unkind, Bertie. The uniform was purely in your honour.
Well, then the fellow should learn to wear it. Sash far too wide obscured his KCMG.
I made rather an ass of myself as well, Bertie. I really thought you were joking. Well, are you going to tell me?
What?
The real reason for coming.
Oh, yes. I wanted to talk about Fred Archer.
You know we each had great losses to bear.
What, you're saying that Fred was a heavy gambler?
I was referring to bereavements, Bertie. He a wife, I two husbands. We had an understanding, you know.
Really?
Yes. I had decided to marry him. And then he shot himself.
Well, we know that, Carrie, but why?
Why? Well, it was the typhoid, Bertie. It turned his brain.
Now, Eddie Somerset thinks different.
What?
Eddie thinks it was the Cambridgeshire. That Fred staked everything on winning. Bribed Woodburn, Carlton's jockey, to make absolutely sure. And then when things went wrong...
Utterly ridiculous. Carlton and St. Mirren just weren't good enough. They were beaten by a good old steer. So, good luck to the owner, is what I say.
I suppose you mean William Gilbert.
Well, he is Sailor Prince's owner, isn't he?
Registered owner.
Are you implying someone else owned that damned outsider?
Mm-hmm. Abington Baird.
What? If that monster fixed the Cambridgeshire, I'll kill him. I'll throttle the blackguard with my bare hands.
I had not forgotten, meanwhile, that Myrtle had been invited to the squire's residence the next day. Now I needed her help more than ever. And I intended to warn her personally how dangerous the squire was. I witnessed it, Myrtle. It was premeditated murder.
I know, love, but two blokes in bed. Well, that's no reason for him to kill Charlie.
It's unlikely, I agree. Now, I believe the squire sent them, knowing that Charlie was under his blackmailing of Archer.
Oh, the squire's been called just about everything. What's blackmail? He just laughed his head off, added to his lips.
No, this time it's different, Myrtle. If Charlie talked, everyone would know about the contract. That Fred Archer was driven to suicide by a man who supposedly idolized him. And Baird couldn't allow that.
I've got to go now, Bertie. I'm on.
Look, my dear, if I could obtain this contract personally, I would. But I'm so damnably well known. I need your help, Myrtle.
All right, then. I'll see what I can do tomorrow. But I don't see what's important about Fred Archer.
It's not easy to explain. In some respects, he was obnoxious, a tyrant on the racecourse, a mean beggar, too. But also the finest jockey ever. And no braver man ever lived, which is why I cannot understand he's killing himself.
It takes a brave man to do that.
But a braver one would face up to his problems, wouldn't he?
Thank you.
Tuesday and Wednesday in London, sir?
I want no arguments, Francis.
Wednesday is December the 1st, sir.
Oh, excellent. November was a brute.
I have ordered the usual red roses, sir.
Red roses? Oh, good Lord, Alex's birthday. Well, we'll have to give her something more than roses.
A choker?
Why not? Didn't I give her one last year?
You did, sir, but you can always select different stones.
Oh, excellent. Arrange it, will you?
And the celebrations, sir?
They'll be in London.
Her Royal Highness does prefer Sandringham.
Well, then we must persuade her otherwise. Ah. Alex! Alex, my dear.
Yes, Bertie?
I have a surprise for you, my dear.
A surprise?
For your birthday. Now, this year, we will celebrate in London.
Not Sandringham? Not my usual party?
No, I intend to take you to the opera. La Bernaise, with Miss Mari Tempest.
Oh, a comic opera? What fun! Oh, Bertie, what a dear husband you are! Isn't he, Francis?
Indeed, ma'am.
Now, I'll leave the arrangements to you, Francis.
Of course, sir. But you won't forget your visitor. In the anteroom. He insists his business is both urgent and confidential.
Yes. Commissioner Warren?
Your Royal Highness. My apologies, sir.
Accepted. Please be seated, Sir Charles.
Thank you, sir.
Yesterday evening, Thames Division recovered something from the river, sir. A body.
Captain Buckfast?
It would appear so, sir.
You know it ain't appropriate for me to make an identification, Commissioner.
That has already been effected, sir.
Really? By whom?
Two residents of Newmarket. Mr. Hallis Sawyer.
Oh, Sawyer. Big chap. Worked for Fred Archer.
His caretaker, sir. Mm. And his gardener, Mr. John Parker. Both well acquainted with the deceased.
Mm-hmm. So?
Well, they both made rather an odd comment, sir. Stated that Captain Buckfast sported a particularly fine moustache. The corpse was, however, clean-shaven.
Yes, it would be. Mm. Should have mentioned it. Buckfast shaved off the moustache a couple of weeks ago.
Ah.
But they're certain it is Buckfast.
Oh, absolutely, sir. There was other evidence as well. Personal papers, visiting cards, his watch, a fob with his regimental insignia. Mm. No, sir, there is no doubt that I'm dealing with a case of murder. Therefore, with your permission...
But before you continue, Commissioner...
Sir?
Pursue your investigation any way you please, but understand this, I will be kept out of it.
With respect, sir, I have certain responsibilities. One of them is to prosecute crime.
With equal respect, Commissioner, you also took an oath of loyalty...
To the Sovereign, if you'll forgive me, sir.
I may forgive you, Commissioner, but will the Sovereign? Especially if you provoke a royal scandal. I know the gracious lady somewhat better than you, and in her view there is one crime even more iniquitous than murder.
Sir?
Indiscretion. Especially from an individual whose loyalty ought to be unswerving.
Loyalty to the crown is one thing, sir, but to accompany you on an assignation...
We aren't garter-gathering, Francis. But Myrtle Bliss has got her hands on that contract. I want it right away. God, it's past 11. She said she'd be here. It's unlocked. And no light. Something's blocking the door. Help me push, Francis.
Hello, Bertie!
Oh, what the...
God bless the Prince of Wales!
Oh, calm yourself. It's the cockatoo. Oh. Must be that new trick of his.
The lamp over there.
Yes.
On your left. Quickly, man. Oh, my God. Myrtle.
She's dead, sir. Shot through the head.
Two deaths, Francis. Two innocent people. And I'm responsible.
They both knew and accepted the risk, sir.
Possibly, but I'll still have them on my conscience.
God bless the Prince of Wales! God bless the Prince of Wales!
Circumstantial evidence, Francis, but it has to be the Squire. Problem is, how do I get him?
You could leave it to the detective police, sir.
And risk a scandal? No, I'm in too deep. Enter.
God bless the Prince of Wales!
What? Cocky, what the... Oh, Alex,
Dearest Bertie.
Ah,
you couldn't have thought of a nicer present.
Yes. Glad you approve, my dear. And, happy birthday.
Hello, Patty!
There's a few more gifts on the table there, my dear.
Oh, another choker. You're so full of surprises, Bertie.
Yes, I reckon I've had enough for one day, my dear. Now, why not take this bird, show him to the children, and I'll join you as soon as Francis and I complete some business.
They look forward to seeing you.
Yes.
And thank you again. It's such a perfect birthday.
Have a cigar!
Francis, my instructions were clear.
To get rid of Cocky?
Precisely. So...
Obviously, you have not read the Times.
Well, I noted poor Charlie's obituary. You mean there's something else?
The police intelligence, sir.
Huh?
There.
Brutal shooting in Whitechapel, Miss Myrtle Bliss, music hall artist. Police wish to interview two men, one about 50, portly, bearded, of foreign appearance. Brown overcoat and Humber. Blasted reporters, anything they got right is the hat.
Mm.
There was no mention of Cocky, though.
The police could be holding that back, sir.
Ah, yes. See what you mean. The descriptions and what with Cocky's conversation piece.
Hello, Bertie.
Yes.
Yes, what and all one of his brighter minions could put two and two together, sir. And Her Royal Highness is most taken with the bird.
Yeah. Needn't have bought that choker. Any other bright ideas?
I have been considering the problem, sir. There's only one logical solution.
Mm-hmm.
You will have to confront Mr. Baird yourself.
Me? Confront the squire?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not such a bad idea, then. But where? Neutral ground? No bodyguards? Yes, Francis, get word to Christopher Sykes.
Mm-hmm.
I reckon it's about time he threw another of his house parties. Hmm? And this time, he's to invite the sportiest ladies in town.
Sporty ladies, huh?
My sister-in-law, Jessica, her friends, and Lady Florence Dixie?
Exactly, Christopher.
Oh, but, well...
Have you a bellyache, Christopher?
No, sir.
Piles?
No, sir.
Then what's the problem?
All these ladies, they're uncommonly active.
Yes.
And, well, with just you and me...
Look, since most of the ladies are married, invite the husbands as well. That won't cramp their style. But there is one other who has to be on the list.
Mrs. Langtry?
No, heavens, no. I wouldn't want Lily near this kind of party. Now, I was referring to Abington Baird.
The squire? With respect, sir, I hardly...
I'll put my cards on the table, Christopher. This concerns Archer's suicide. I have to see Baird alone, in private.
Then why the excitable ladies?
You know Baird's reputation. Tell him that some of the most adventurous ladies in London wish to meet him. But the invitation is for him alone. No bodyguards. There's one more thing. No one is to know that I'll be under your roof. Understand?
Yes, but...
Though the party will run its course without me, but you will ensure that Baird receives this note just before midnight. Preferably from your sister-in-law, Jessica.
Seems Baird hasn't taken the bait, sir.
Patience, Francis, he will.
If he's convinced your billet-doux was genuine.
Why shouldn't he? Perfumed paper. Dearest A, the Beverly Room after midnight, impatiently J. He could hardly resist that. Now, where did you put the sporting life?
Yes.
I need to keep my mind occupied. Okay. Ah, tragedy.
Sir?
Sandown Park, not a single winner.
Sir, footsteps.
Yes, I heard.
What the... He's moved off. Wait, there's something under the door.
Hmm?
It's your billet-doux. And there's a scribble on the back.
Well, read it, then.
You really should give up cigars.
They don't become a lady. A, B.
Every blasted detail perfect and ruin it with a cigar. Yes. Well, Baird ain't getting off that easy. Which room's he in?
The York, but I would suggest waiting till morning,
sir. Morning? He'll be back in Newmarket by then. No, I want him detained. Fine, Christopher. Station yourselves at the main stairs, and if Baird makes any attempt to leave, restrain him. By force, if necessary. As you have probably gathered, I am not a violent man. But neither do I take kindly to blackguards. It was time to step into the lion's den. Baird's room was just down the corridor, and no Indian scout could have reached his door more stealthily than I. It was locked, so I knocked. First gently, and then firmly, knowing in my sinking heart that whatever I tried, Baird would not respond. Having no wish to arouse the house, I had no option but to return to my room, where, as I was reaching for the brandy, an assailant grabbed me from behind and tossed me towards the bed, where my head struck the wooden headboard, producing a display of fireworks worthy of the Crystal Palace. By the time I regained some semblance of consciousness, I was bound, gagged, and being carted down the corridor like a sack of coal. My abductor, ignoring the main stairs, headed for the servants' exit and the stable yard. The cold was penetrating. Bareheaded and without so much as an overcoat, I was horribly reminded that royal executions always seem to happen at the most inclement time of the year. But I was given no time to develop that morbid thought. A brougham was waiting, which, the moment I was tossed aboard, careered away as though pursued by wolves.
Ah, awake at last, Your Royal Highness. My apologies for the quarters.
Baird, where in blazes am I?
Newmarket, one of my lesser-known stables. Ideal for guests such as yourself.
Oh, thank you to show me some respect, Baird.
Respect? The fat lot you've shown me. Having your toady Sykes trying to gull me. Think I didn't know you'd be there? And why? It was to do with Myrtle, wasn't it?
I want to know why you killed her.
Me? Kill Myrtle? No one talks to me like that. I'd never have harmed her.
No, you just left it to your thugs.
That is a vile suggestion.
And a vile crime, even viler than the murder of Charlie Buckfast.
What?
And before you deny that, I saw it happen. Almost suffer the same fate myself. Or didn't your assassins tell you?
Oh, now I know you're mad. Me? Kill Buckfast? Attack you? What reason would I have?
We were too close to the truth.
About what?
About Archer's suicide, the way you bribed him.
Bribes? Fred Archer never took a bribe in his life. Not from me, not from anyone.
To quote your own words, Archer was in my pocket.
My words?
Don't bother to deny them. Buckfast heard you boasting all round Newmarket.
Well, then he lied.
Then answer this. How did you come to make such a killing on the Cambridgeshire?
I kept quiet about Sailor Prince's form, that's all.
And made doubly sure by bribing Archer.
No, the Cambridgeshire run was fair.
Yet Carlton, the favourite, came nowhere. Or did you have his jockey Woodburn in your pocket as well?
Allegations without a single shred of proof.
Oh, yes, there is. That's why Buckfast broke into Bedford Lodge.
Broke into When was this?
2 weeks ago. The night of your dogfight. He got as far as your bedroom. Unfortunately, it was occupied by two of your thugs, in a state of nature and in a proximity anything but natural.
What?
The same men that followed him to London and later killed him.
I assure you I know nothing of this. But if there is a grain of truth in what you say, I'll see those men hanged. You have my word on it.
And you have mine that you'll join them.
Oh, really? Why?
As an accessory to three murders.
Three?
Buckfast, Myrtle, please. And Fred Archer.
Oh, no, by God, you're wrong from beginning to end. And there's one man who can prove it.
Who?
Carlton's jockey. Woodburn.
The squire? Pay me to lose, Your Highness? Never.
Well, if the squire didn't bribe you, then how about Fred Archer?
Fred? Why? Everybody knows he was offered Carlton before me, that he turned down the ride.
Please answer my question, Woodburn.
He has. Obviously, Archer chose St. Mirren because he wanted the better horse.
Now, unlikely. Both horses ran a trial gallop just before the Cambridgeshire. Carlton beat St. Mirren with ease. Right, Woodburn?
True, sir. But Fred was under an obligation.
To whom?
The Duchess of Montrose. And you know her. Forceful. Well, just before the Cambridgeshire, we was both in Ireland. The Curragh. Fred gets his telegram. It's her ladyship saying she expects him to ride St. Mirren. He don't half shake, Fred. He drops Carlton, starts taking that potion of his, wasting as fast as he can. Bloody near kills himself.
Stop evading the point, Woodburn. Did you take a bribe from Fred Archer?
Answer the question, damn you.
I can't, Mr. Baird. I daren't.
Why?
Because of Fred, sir. He could be listening.
Oh, don't be a bloody fool, man.
I'm not, Guff. But there's folk. Honest, God-fearing folk who've seen lights flickering in his house at night. And Fred riding a stallion out across the heath.
Oh, what a poppycock.
Honest, Your Highness. They say it's his unquiet spirit. Fred ain't at rest.
There was something in the paper that he rides around Newmarket at night on a spectral horse.
Well, ghosts don't show up in daylight, so you've nothing to worry about. Now, tell me straight. Did Fred Archer bribe you to lose the Cambridgeshire?
Well, suppose you could say that.
Damned lying toad. Fred was no cheat. Look me in the eye and say it.
Woodburn, I could end your career here and now. But if you confess fully and frankly, then you have my word that I'll forget all that you tell me. Now, how much did Fred pay you?
200, sir. It weren't Fred personal, but I knew the gent was acting for him.
Just give his name, damn you.
Buckfast.
What?
Captain Buckfast.
Charlie Buckfast involved in bribery, it's unthinkable.
Is it possible that Woodburn is unhinged?
Well, that crossed my mind when he started on about Archer's ghost. You found nothing among Fred's papers that might support Woodburn's story?
No, sir. Buckfast's bookkeeping was meticulous. More than can be said of the others.
Huh? What others?
Archer's staff. I caught that strapping caretaker fellow, Sawyer, and his equally massive friend, Parker, knocking back champagne and smoking Havanas. I had the nerve to say they'd purchased them. So I checked the cellars.
And?
The stocks tallied. But I did note one oddity.
Oh?
It seems they'd been sleeping in the cellar. I found a bed and candles.
Well, they'll not be there much longer.
No, Sawyer's going to visit a brother in New Zealand, apparently, and Parker's buying a pub in Cambridge.
Oh. Archer obviously remunerated his staff very generously.
Oh, Archer was earning heavy, all right, but spending just as fast.
By what standard, Francis?
Even yours, sir. $1,000 in cash, first of the month regularly.
Well, that is heavy. That doesn't sound like the Tin Man.
But if he was gambling, sir, or if he was being blackmailed...
Blackmailed?
...by Abingdon Baird. Captain Buckfast did indicate that possibility. And then was murdered.
Yes, as was Myrtle after I asked her to investigate Baird. Good thinking, Francis. But then, why Baird idolized Archer? I'd swear he was genuinely shocked when Woodburn admitted to being bribed by Buckfast on Archer's orders, apparently.
If Woodburn was telling the truth, sir.
But he has no reason to lie, nor to accuse Captain Buckfast falsely. Yeah, it puzzles me why Charlie never mentioned that payment to Woodburn.
To protect Archer?
Yes, possibly. Unless I've made a false assumption somewhere, Francis.
Sir?
Well, let's say Archer wasn't gambling, wasn't being blackmailed, wasn't guilty of bribery. What then?
I'm beginning to think we'll never find out, sir. Not unless you quiz his ghost. Lights flickering in his house. Phantom rides on the heath. Oh, I'm surprised Carrie Montrose hasn't reported a visitation yet.
Carrie! That's it, Francis. It wasn't gambling. No, it was wedding bells. Archer was risking everything to please Carrie.
But then why the suicide? The murder?
Now, think about it, old man. But first, get this train turned round.
What? Back to Newmarket? But, sir, Windsor... Her Majesty is expecting
you. Well, then think up an excuse, Francis. And then find me a revolver.
A revolver? As you wish, sir. And your plans?
To visit Archer's residence tonight and lay his ghost once and for all. Where do you start looking for a ghost? Upstairs or down? The attic or the cellar? I chose the latter.
Without wishing to brag, I can state confidently I have as much experience of creeping through country houses as any burglar. So locating Archer's cellar was simple. It was only when I was there, working my way through the wine racks, that I realized I was not alone. With all the stealth of someone who has, in his time, stalked the leopard, I crept forward, revolver at the ready. Ahead, the Stygian darkness was broken by a flickering light. A shadowy figure moved slowly towards me. I raised my revolver and fired a warning shot, which sadly shattered several bottles of Archer's champagne, and then, by heavy accident, brought down a stag's head mounted over the cellar door. The figure stopped in his tracks. Another yard, and he certainly would have been brained. Petrified, he stood, barely able to raise his hands at my order. When I saw who he was, I could barely prevent myself from emptying my revolver into his pathetic body.
Baird, what the blazes are you doing here?
Trying to get at the truth, Your Royal Highness. Thanks to you, I've been dragged to Scotland Yard and accused by that fool Warren of every crime in the book. I have to prove my innocence.
What, down here?
Yes. I was here yesterday, right after your man... What's his name? Francis Knowles? I persuaded Sawyer to let me go through the house. He didn't argue, but I felt he was hiding something, so I came back tonight.
And your findings?
Back there. Books, candles, and bread. Huh? Just a few hours old.
Seems we both left things too late.
Mm.
Well, despite all the evidence to the contrary, I suppose I have to trust you, Baird. I know where to find our murderer, but I shall require your assistance to prove it.
As you wish, sir. Where do we go?
Down the road to Sefton Lodge, the residence of the Duchess of Montrose. But I shall go alone.
Is that safe?
Far from it.
Oh. Oh. Who is it?
The Prince of Wales. Now open up before I get pneumonia.
Oh, it's all right, ma'am. It ain't him.
Time to stand aside, girl. Oh, my God. Carrie!
I'm sorry, Betty. I'm not receiving. It's not convenient.
Oh, don't be idiotic. Are you coming down, or shall I come up to you?
Oh, very well. But I shall need a moment.
Yeah.
You may wait in the drawing room.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Carrie, come in and sit down.
Thank you. But I prefer to stand here in the doorway. I have a house guest.
Oh? Who else are you expecting?
Expecting?
It ain't him. You heard the maid.
Bertie, I'm in a terrible state. Across the heath along the course, 'tis said that on a phantom horse, the greatest jockey of our days rides nightly in the moonlight's rays.
Ghost? Oh, not you as well, Carrie.
Laugh if you will, Bertie. But he's been seen. Sooner or later he'll be here.
There's no need to be afraid of ghosts.
I'm not afraid. I want to catch the blighter and ask him why he jilted me.
Oh, well, seeing you're so anxious, I suggest we go out to the heath. He might even be there now.
No.
Hmm?
I cannot leave the house. He's upstairs, Bertie, upstairs.
Oh, I understand. Everything is under control. The last time we spoke, I asked you about Fred and the bribing of Woodburn. You denied it emphatically. But Woodburn confirms the stories, says the money was handed over by Charlie Buckfast. Now, are you able to confirm this shameful transaction?
I'm unable to comment.
But do you deny it?
Oh.
People have been murdered, Duchess. Now, are you willing to assist me?
I cannot throw any light on the matter.
Then you leave me no choice, madam. I shall ask the police to question you.
Oh, ma'am. I said him, ma'am. The ghost. Out there in the garden.
Oh, then I must go to him. Oh. But
yes?
It is him. He's on St. Mirren. And in my colours. Ben, you must tell me. I want to know why.
Thinking Carrie mad, I ventured into the garden. Not 30 yards away was a stallion. In the saddle, a jockey I recognized immediately. The style, the rounded shoulders, a cap with the peak jutting up from the forehead, could only belong to one man, Fred Archer. I then knew what it means when your flesh creeps. For a moment, horse and rider stayed motionless. And then the horse reared, whinnied, and trotted towards a copse at the end of the gardens, its rider turning his head to see whether he was being pursued, which he was. Carrie Montrose was going to square her account with the ghost at any cost. Discovering that curiosity is the best antidote for blue funk, I plodded after her. Then Carrie screamed. Suddenly I was surrounded by police uniforms. One was immediately recognizable as that of Commissioner Charles Warren. Behind him were more police supporting the swooning Carrie Montrose, followed by Archer's ghost, who rode up and dismounted with an insufferable smirk.
Did I fool you as well, sir? Stroke of genius finding a dead ringer for St. Mirren. I reckon Fred'd be mighty proud the way his lessons paid off, don't you think, Duchess?
You unmitigated blackguard, Baird.
Well, I trust your Royal Highness is satisfied.
Satisfied, Baird? I said alert the police and bring them here, not indulge in a blasted pantomime.
We became concerned for your safety, sir. I decided to draw you and the Duchess out of Sefton House. The only way was to raise the Tin Man's ghost. And you, Carrie, couldn't resist that. Saved both your lives, probably.
I take it our man is still inside.
Upstairs in the bedroom, Sir Charles. He forced his way in this afternoon. He threatened to shoot my house guest unless I cooperated. I did my best to warn you, Bertie.
Indeed, but as you see, I had things well in hand.
No point in wasting time, then. My men are deployed. I suggest we storm the house.
No, Commissioner.
But, sir!
Stand aside. This is my investigation. It will be my arrest. However, you may follow, if you wish. How I wish some painter of heroic subjects had been there to record the scene. Me, at the head of a posse, walking up the marble stairs to Carrie's bedroom door, then in a strong, clear voice addressing the adversary I had finally cornered. This is the Prince of Wales. Put down your weapon and come out with your arms raised. A moment of silence. The door opens. A figure appears. One arm held high, the other just a sleeve hanging limp. Well, if you thought all the ghosts in Newmarket had been laid to rest, you'd have been very much mistaken. I was looking at Charlie Buckfast.
I've made a full confession, sir. It was the honourable thing.
Good. Then I shall get the details from Commissioner Warren. However, I'm more interested in your motive.
I would have thought that was obvious. I was in deep water. Only way out was Fred Archer.
Embezzlement?
He was illiterate, busy riding, travelling. It made embezzlement monumentally easy. When did you first suspect me?
When you told me about the estate. That he'd only left 60,000. I knew he had to be worth more than that.
He was, to me. Unfortunately, someone else had an interest in him as well.
Lady Montrose.
Yes, a grotesque mismatch. When Fred told me about her proposal, I laughed. Unfortunately, I underestimated the lady. I knew once she'd got her hooks into him, she'd go through my accounts with a tooth comb. I couldn't risk that. At least, not till I'd topped up the kitty.
Naturally.
My first impulse was to dissuade Fred, then. Well, I remembered the lady, her personality. I knew Fred would give in sooner or later, so I considered a different approach. Decided to throw in with the Duchess.
Press her claim as Archer's bride.
I decided, in effect, to be a marriage broker. Fred's greatest ambition was to win the Cambridgeshire. If she could provide him with the winning mount, he'd agree to marry her.
So she offered St. Mirren.
I knew Carlton had the beating of it, but my way would please Archer and the Duchess. I'd place a huge bet on St. Mirren.
And bribe Woodburn to stop Carlton.
St. Mirren would win, and I would recoup enough to patch up the accounts before the Duchess saw them.
Mm-hmm. Best laid plans, Buckfast.
Yeah. As you know, Carrie went completely berserk. Blamed everyone except Fred. Said she was still resolved to marry him and expected me to persuade Fred to set a date.
Did you?
I couldn't. He'd fallen ill. I had to wait till the fever broke.
The day of the suicide.
Yes. I saw him that morning. Confessed everything. That his funds were dreadfully depleted. That his only salvation was to marry the Duchess. That he had no other choice. I threatened him.
told him that unless he accepted Carrie, I'd confess to bribing Woodburn on his orders.
Mm. And since Woodburn believed that, Fred could never have proved otherwise. You'd have ended his career. Oh, yes, you killed him, all right.
No, sir. I gave him a choice. In fact, he agreed to marry.
You're certain?
Absolutely. I said I'd see Carrie and bring her back that afternoon with the marriage settlement for his signature.
Are they coming? Those enigmatic last words. He meant you and Carrie Montrose.
They said at the inquest that Fred was out of his mind when he shot himself. Quite wrong. I miscalculated. He wasn't willing to marry the Duchess.
Must have been disconcerting for you when I showed up at the inquest.
No, not at all, sir. Not until you disbelieved the verdict. And even that was only a minor inconvenience. You delighted me no end when you suggested that I watch the squire.
And did you?
Of course not.
You mean that all the things you reported the squire as saying were pure invention?
Absolutely.
And the reason for staging your own murder?
Recall what you said just before I left for Newmarket.
That I planned to question Carrie Montrose.
Cherchez la femme. Remember? It was the worst thing you could have said. You and Carrie getting your heads together. Wouldn't have taken long before she mentioned her marriage plans and my part in them.
There was no mention of you. She was obviously too proud to give you any of the credit.
But I wasn't to know that. I had to assume you'd probe, discover the embezzlement. The only way to stop you was to let you think I'd been murdered. I knew my sudden demise would alarm you. I thought you'd drop your inquiry like a hot potato.
You deceived yourself then.
Obviously.
So, you laid your plans in Newmarket. Recruited those louts Parker and Sawyer.
I knew them well through Fred. Paid them their wages. Knew what money meant to them. And what they'd do for it. And since Fred's suicide had put them out of work, well, it wasn't difficult.
So they carried out the fake attack?
For 50. With another 50 when they identified my body.
Whose body was it, Buckfast?
Who knows? 3 or 4 get pulled from the Thames every day by watermen. Police pay them a shilling to deliver them to Wapping. I just went to Blackfriars, offered £1. Next day I have the choice of 4. Picked one that matched me.
But what about the arm?
Amputated it.
Oh, God.
Anyway, my clothes, documents were proof positive. Well, that should have been the end of Charlie Buckfast. And you had to recruit Myrtle Bliss. If only you hadn't shown me that letter. I didn't want to kill her, but had no idea what she'd found out. Couldn't risk you learning I'd deceived you about the squire.
Mm. And why did you return to Newmarket after her death?
Sawyer knew a Yarmouth fishing skipper who'd take me to Holland, so I decided to lay up in Archer's cellar. Sample the champagne. Then the squire came nosing about.
And so you went to Sefton Lodge?
I'd nowhere to hide. And the Duchess owed me a favour for all the trouble I'd gone to over the marriage. When you arrived, I was upstairs holding a gun to the head of her latest lover.
You're going to hang, Charlie.
Oh, no doubt of that, sir. But if you're concerned about the trial, the publicity, you have nothing to fear.
Oh?
Your reputation is completely safe with me, sir. You have my word as an officer and a gentleman.
The effrontery, Francis. Imagining that an English judge would permit my name to be bandied about in a murder trial.
There is always a risk, sir. Especially as Buckfast's confederates have yet to be tried.
Oh, no worries there, Francis. Sawyer and Parker were paid to fake Charlie's murder, and that's all. They know nothing of my involvement. Well, not with Myrtle, anyway. If I hadn't shown him that letter, told him about her plans, she'd be alive today. Damn Buckfast. He'd have got away with it if he hadn't panicked. Returned to Archer's house. Alex, my dear.
I am sorry to disturb you, Bertie, but it is the telephone instrument from Scotland Yard, Sir Charles Warren. He says it concerns a Captain Breakfast.
Breakfast? Oh, Buckfast. Oh, Lord, what now? I never did require any favours from Charles Buckfast. That message from Scotland Yard removed my last remaining fears. Charlie had used his shirt to hang himself.
unpredictable to the last. And now it's time to conclude my humble narrative. My loyal companions out there, well, what did you think of my investigation? Oh, I admit I was guilty of certain blunders. So I shall not fish for compliments, simply thank you for persisting to the end. As I did, in the pursuit of justice. Yes, due entirely to my efforts, a murderer and his confederates were apprehended. Oh, very well, then, I shall say it. Stout work, Bertie. Or better still, I shall allow Cocky to say it for all of you.
God bless the Prince of Wales!
In Bertie and the Tin Man by Peter Lovesey, dramatised by Geoffrey M. Matthews, Timothy West played Bertie. Colin Starkey, Captain Buckfast. John Moffat, Sir Francis Knowles. Margaret Courtney, Carrie Montrose. Geoffrey Whitehead, Christopher Sykes. And Jane Slavin, Myrtle Bliss. Simon Treves was Abington Baird. David King, Sir Charles Warren. Marcia King, Princess Alex. Vincent Brimble, Fred Archer. Stephen Garlick, Eddie Somerset. Michael Kilgariff, the coroner and music hall chairman. And Danny Schiller, Woodburn and Cocky. The play was directed by Matthew Walters.
The BBC wishes to state that it cannot vouch for the absolute authenticity of the memoirs you have just heard. Listeners may have decided that it has to be extremely doubtful whether Bertie, either as Prince of Wales or King Edward VII, ever found the time or inclination to write a memoir of his detective adventures. However, many of the characters featured in the play are known to have existed, and it may be of interest to relate what happened to them in later years. The Duchess of Montrose married for the third time in 1888, when she was 70. Her husband, Marcus Milner, was 24. Her horses were run in Milner's name until 1893, when there appears to have been a marital rift. She died the following year, aged 76. Abington Baird, the squire, continued to infuriate the racing establishment, notably when his horse Merry Hampton won the Derby in 1887, and he declined to lead it into the winner's enclosure. He died in New Orleans at the age of 31, of a combination of malaria, pneumonia, and dissipation. Sir Charles Warren, the Metropolitan Police Commissioner, doggedly held office until 1888, in the face of mounting concern at his incompetence. In 1887, he assembled 4,000 police and 600 guardsmen with fixed bayonets to deal with a demonstration by the unemployed in Trafalgar Square. He finally resigned after mismanaging the Jack the Ripper investigation. The unhappy spirit of Frederick James Archer is still said to haunt Newmarket Heath. Occasionally, when a horse swerves or stumbles on the racecourse, Archer's ghost is held responsible by some. Oh, yes. And Cocky, the cockatoo, was kept by Queen Alexandra for many years and outlived everyone else mentioned in the play. After the Queen's death in 1925, Cocky was apparently presented to the London Zoo, where he presided over the parrot house until the mid-30s. A notice on his perch stated that he was dangerous. Occasionally, the old bird was heard to mutter, "God bless the Prince of Wales."